on today's Compassion Radio.
And I was literally using this janky old phone to record every Disciple Dojo video and Facebook Live broadcast. And probably 80% of what I do, like actually do on a daily basis, has been the YouTube channel. The goal has been to be able to, like you said, present scripture in normal language that everyday people speak, not to be cotton candy. There are a lot of YouTube channels out there that give warm, fuzzy thoughts for the day. Well, there's a lot of life coaching presented as ministry, but there is a hunger for depth, people reading biblical scholarship because of people who are good at presenting it and making it interesting.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Compassion Radio, where you'll hear about the intrepid people who take Jesus seriously and live intrepid lives marked with a vibrant, risk-taking kind of faith. We have only one life to live on this planet, after all, so why wait for eternity to start living the way God intended? On yesterday's program, we got reacquainted with James Michael Smith of Disciple Dojo and the new international ministry to adult singles called the Grown-Up Stable. We were just getting into the meat of the story, and we'll pick it up today as James explains how he's been preaching the gospel of singles alive and invested in kingdom priorities. It's a sermon he's been preaching to churches for years, and thankfully, it's beginning to catch on. There's a lot more to get to as well, for James Michael Smith is a very busy boy with kingdom projects. So we'll get to that straight away. We'll let you know later in the broadcast how you can get involved too. And as always, thanks for loaning us your ears for the next 26 minutes.
And that's why I created a couple of videos on the channel. The first one was five things singles wish the church knew. And the second one was, hey, church, we need to talk. And it was just about hearing from single people in the church. And I shared some of the things that people in the grown-ups table have shared with their permission, because we're a private group. So one of the rules is you're not allowed to share anything outside of the group. It's a community where we can come together and talk honestly and real. The thing is, God has taken it and run with it. We have 4,600 members now.
Wow.
Next month will be the third annual retreat we've done down to St. Simon's Island, to Epworth by the Sea, where John Wesley himself ministered back in the 1700s. And we do a retreat there. First year, I taught through the book of Ecclesiastes. Second year, I brought my friend Richard Middleton in to teach on the Psalms of Lament. This year, I'm going to be teaching through the book of Habakkuk, because it is the most applicable to what's going on. And the first year we had 65. Last year we had about 90. This year we're on track to have about 100 or so. It's a retreat for singles, but we don't talk about singleness. We acknowledge it, but we get together and study scripture and have fellowship and hang out and play games and go to the beach and get away from life. That's something that the grown-ups table, the need that it's met, which I didn't even really know fully. I started it because I wanted to connect with other people.
Yeah.
Because it's just hard as an adult to make friends.
Indeed.
Especially if you're single.
Right.
Way harder. So I wanted to create a place where single Christians could get together and just make friends, just have a new friend group that they can hang out with. And it has grown. We've got communities in Tulsa. We've got communities in Atlanta. There's an Ohio grown-ups table that's very active. We've got members all over the world. But in terms of active groups doing stuff together, it's like this virus in a good way that's spreading, which is great, because that's what I wanted to see happen.
Okay. Tell me, though, do the churches that just have a kind of a passing glance at what you're doing there, do they just assume that this is a matchmaking exercise?
Some probably do until they talk to me or, you know, members of the group. We make it clear we're not anti-dating. We love when people in the group meet and date, and great. But we have a lot of people in the group that aren't looking to date. They just want community. And I am for moderators. We make sure, like, we have rules that are different than other Christian Facebook groups. You're not allowed to post anything unless it contains a specific open-ended discussion question. Okay. So you can't just post a meme. You can't post a sermon clip. We call those drive-by posts. You're not allowed to do those. And what that's done, it's annoyed some people, because that's what they're used to in Christian groups. But what it's done is it's kept it from being background clutter on people's feed.
Right.
And it's forced people to have to think about what they're wanting to share with the group and to interact with one another.
I'm going to guess that some of those questions, too, that get dropped in there end up becoming real triggers for some people. Like they finally ask a tough question that they're really dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. And we encourage robust discussion. What do you do around a family dinner table? Sometimes you argue. So our job is to keep people arguing without throwing food at each other, you know, keep it as a family argument. And sometimes we've had to, you know, come in and police things. But for the most part, it's been really healthy interaction for single Christians. And we get a lot of people that they think it's a young adult thing. And our average age is mid-40s. We have people in their 20s. In fact, we just had a 19-year-old join. You have to be a legal adult and you have to be legally not married. And you have to love the Lord. Those are the three requirements. But we've had 19, 20-year-olds join, and we've had people in their 60s and 70s. And the group has been awesome at welcoming all of them and letting them know, yeah, you're in the right place.
What about the loophole of those who see themselves committed to single life because they have a partner but are not married? How do you differentiate those who would see themselves as part of the single community because they have not made a marriage commitment or ceremony?
I mean, if they're not legally married, but they're dating or in a relationship or even engaged, like we won't kick them out. They are part of the single demographic. Okay. If you have not made a covenant with another person in front of witnesses, then you're still legally and technically single. And so from our perspective, yeah, we welcome that. The problem is if one person thinks that they're legally married, and the other person doesn't. We have had some double lives. People try to get in. And we've also had a number of people who are separated. And they think, oh, well, because my divorce is initiated, I can join a singles group. And we say, no, we're sorry. We'll welcome you once you have completed your divorce, whatever. But this is not a group you need to be in at this moment in your life.
Yeah, you don't need to be encouraging those who might reconcile to not.
Yeah. Some, there's no chance of that. And some are getting out of abusive marriages. And right. Some, you know, every story is different, but we just maintain to a few people who I'd say, listen, it's awful what you're going through. And when you get it settled and it's legally settled, we will be here waiting to welcome you.
Yeah.
In the meantime, if there's some resources you need that we can point you to, if there's divorce care, you know, grief share, any, whatever kind of things, we're happy to point you that way. But in terms of being a member of the group, we keep the rules pretty airtight.
So the grown-up table's, I guess, subline ought to be, life is messy and we're here for you.
It could very well be. Yeah, because it is and we are.
We're well into this conversation with James Michael Smith about the grown-ups table ministry that kind of grew out of his own life. God's called him to a kind of ministry and focus on others that has given him the world to minister in. And the world at his doorstep turned out to be people just like him that are not married, that are single, and a huge demographic that didn't have the welcome that he felt he needed. So we're talking with him about that. The Grownups Table is a Facebook group. And if you want to give a couple of things about how they can get in touch with you and learn more about that ministry, tell us.
It is entirely through Facebook. It's not its own website. It's not a business. There's a lot of stuff for singles out there. Don't get me wrong. And there's a lot of Christian stuff.
Yeah.
What I've noticed, though, is a lot of it is tied to a dating coach service, a matchmaking service, a program of some sort to help you find your spouse. There's just a lot of that. And I'm not against those things.
No, it's fine. But it has a whiff of ulterior motive, though. So
it can easily become. And a group I was part of previously was tied to a Christian ministry that did mixers for singles all over the country. But very clearly, the business was what was driving the group.
So what's your ulterior motive then?
Yeah, ours was to not have any strings attached, for it to be 100% community. It's not a side thing I did. It's under the ministry of Disciple Dojo so that it can be part of the ministry. We're a nonprofit. Disciple Dojo is a 501c3 nonprofit. So it's not tied to any success rate. It's not tied to any dating coach program, any curriculum. And so doing it that way is really freeing, because then you're free to just provide ministry to people, provide connection, community, without having to meet markers, goals, demographics, numbers. You just let God do with it what he's going to do with it. And that's what I love about it being part of this ministry. People say, well, what if I'm not on Facebook? Well, then, there's not another way to access it. It is a Facebook-based ministry. We do have people in local areas that come to events, because it's a grassroots thing. So events are being planned all the time, you know, rafting trips, ski trips, camping, hiking, watching a movie. There's a group that got together in Atlanta to watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy and have dinner and all that. There's all this stuff going on. Anybody can connect with people who are members and come to those events and get to know others. But in terms of being in the group and keeping up with it, you have to be on Facebook and be a member of the group. This is a problem that's a good problem. We had people meet and marry and have to leave the group because you're not allowed to be in the group and be married. But they wanted to stay connected. And of course, it'd be ridiculous, hypocritical of me to say, well, no, now that you're married, you can't have community, because the whole reason this thing was started was for you.
Yeah.
So what we did was one of our married members, she and I talked, and we created a grown-ups table, alumni and friends.
Cool.
And that is a community like the grown-ups table for people who are married or single. You don't have to be married to be in it. Friends of the grown-ups table or alumni, so to speak.
And that's where they support them.
Yeah. And we have married people that like hanging out with their single friends.
Yeah.
And they still want to be kept in the loop of what's happening, what's going on, and come to some events. So we have two groups. That one's less active and it's smaller, but it's there. And I'm hoping it'd be great to have more married people doing the community thing with people all over.
And I can even see them becoming the direct serving support team for the things that help their friends that are still where they were.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Great. The direct line I'm making between your disciple JoJo ministry and this is that you just in conversation said the ethic is helping us learn to fight fair. So I'm seeing the whole ethic of helping people understand what threats are like in the world and how to deal with them in a Christ-like manner transfers literally into how you're teaching people how to communicate at the grown-up stable and giving them a way to deal with things that are troubling, that are difficult, and unpacking things in a way that doesn't explode in ways that disrupt community and derail it.
Yeah. So
where's this going? Are you looking at international growth on this thing? Are you trying to build a community around the world of moderators that know how to help people make it through the gauntlet of weirdness that is often the church and make it to the table?
It is already international. We have members in Tokyo, Kenya, UK, Germany. Like, it's already international. Now, those groups, obviously, they aren't as active because there may be one or two people rather than like in here in Charlotte, where I started the group, there's like 400 of us. But the goal is for it to continue spreading. The beauty is everything is organic. It's bottom up. So we just provide the space online, the group, the Facebook group, and we may add some moderators as it continues to grow. But right now, there are five of us between us all. We're able to handle everything.
We'll be back with more from James Michael Smith, the disciple JoJo, right after this.
Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how He is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of His kingdom wherever it is to be found. So much has changed and is changing in this world. At the same time, I'm discovering in a deeper way how absolutely consistent God is in times of trial. So I'll ask you, will you help? Just call today with your first gift and consider making it monthly. Call us. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. If you're on the move right now, you can also text Compassion to 53445 to make your gift immediately. God bless you. And now, back to our discussion.
There are five of us between us all. We're able to handle everything. We've had to deal with some things that involve law enforcement, harassing, stalking. Like we've had to kick some people out of the group. But for the most part, we take a very hands-off approach and we say, you guys are grown-ups. You need to argue with each other first before you come tell us. And that helps about 90% of the conflicts that might arise.
Okay.
And then the organization stuff within the group, when you join the Facebook group, when you join any Facebook group now, if you go in your Facebook Messenger and tap on that group, the different chats pop up that group allows. So we have chats that are geographically based. Those are started by people in their region. I just approved one today that's a West Kansas grown-up stable chat. I'm like, I don't know if anybody's in West Kansas, but if there are two of you, here you go. Connect with each other. So we tell people when they join, you know, check the chats, find your region. We don't do theme chats. We have a couple. We have a prayer chat for just for prayer requests. Those don't get posted on the main page. And then we have one for, can't remember if we have one for single parents or not. If we have one for widows, or not. I feel like we might. There's some that we allow, but then some people are like, hey, I want one for outdoors enthusiasts, or I want to chat. And I'm like, no, this will get way out of hand. We keep it geographical with a few exceptions. Mm. There is a chat for people who struggle with mental illness,
okay,
or, you know, just need somebody to talk to.
That are literally in their own space that way. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, we have a few exceptions, but not for fly fishers.
It's not exceptions. You're talking about things that actually are in a kind of mental and spiritual space that is defined differently than just by place on the planet. And that's important. What I'm seeing is, to kind of riff on that scripture, where two or three are gathered in our name, there we are on Facebook. There is an opportunity to actually build a community or be a seed to build a community in some place. People say, I planted my flag here. I'm going to be living here. I'm here for the next 5 years. I would love to help build this thing out. I love that. So people can see themselves being initiators and being the first fruits of something that is important. Before we leave on this program, James, I would love to have you just kind of pivot with me to the work you're doing on theology. You're doing a really good job of communicating in modern English, literally a vernacular that people can understand, who are hungry to understand the word better and its application in a modern culture, without losing the sense of how immediate, how imminent the word was to those who heard it at the time it was written. So just tell me where you're going with that ministry and how people are coming to you and how you're finding ways of discipling that you weren't expecting when you built your own interest in theology.
Like everything, it did not happen by plan. I stumbled backwards into every aspect of ministry. I was leading a Bible study, a weekly Bible study, met for 6.5 years. We went verse by verse through the Old Testament. We finished Ruth. We were about to start 1 Samuel. We met at a restaurant every week during lunch hour. It was for business people and retired people. And, you know, some weeks we'd have like 100 people come, and then COVID shut it down. Mm-hmm. So when that happened, I made the decision. And by that time, Disciple Dojo had become a full nonprofit, and I had a board, which has been huge. Our board's amazing. And I asked them, I said, we need to pivot and do everything online. And I was literally using this janky old phone to record every Disciple Dojo video and Facebook Live broadcast and all that during COVID. And so they said, yeah, let's do it. So we got a decent camera and microphone set up. The board invested the funds to do that. And I pivoted everything to YouTube, became a monetized channel, like did the official thing, YouTube partnership program, getting subscribers, watch hours, all that kind of stuff. And probably 80% of what I do, like actually do on a daily basis, has been the YouTube channel. The goal has been to be able to, like you said, present scripture in normal language that everyday people speak. Mm-hmm. Not to be cotton candy. There are a lot of YouTube channels out there that give warm, fuzzy thoughts for the day. There are a lot of podcasts that are just people talking to one another and chatting and yes, oh yes, that's so good. Yeah. You know, just this kind of, well, there's a lot of life coaching presented as ministry. And it's not that there's anything wrong with that, but there is a hunger for depth. Mm-hmm. And people like Mike Heiser or the Bible Project, my friend Carmen Imes, they have been seeing the growth in people reading biblical scholarship because of people who are good at presenting it and making it interesting. I never got to meet Michael Heiser, and I certainly don't agree with a lot of his views on things, but I think he was one of the best people of getting everyday YouTube viewers or people that the church had kind of said, yeah, they're just doing their thing. Getting those people interested in biblical scholarship to the point that now they are reading pseudepigraphical literature, the apocryphal literature. They're reading and learning about Second Temple Judaism. What pastor's doing that? You know, what church is doing that on a Sunday morning? They're not able.
There are some out there, but you're talking about an extreme to the very other end of being less conversational and just so dry that we're talking Ezekiel bones here that haven't been reanimated yet. It's so dusty. You're bringing life to the center there and reaching in both directions towards those who have never even thought about there might have been a reason why the books that are in the Bible are in the Bible, or have never thought about what kind of poetry were Second Temple Jews reading when they were pivoting from ancient Hebrew to a modern Aramaic and Greek. Those kind of things are rich, and they're understanding the community from which God gave us what he gave us broadens everything.
They're applicable too. And that's the thing that most people may not realize, but they're starting to. So for instance, my YouTube channel, the most viral video series I've ever had you know, I've spent a lot of time teaching through a lot of things that I thought was really interesting. And then before I left to go to Japan last year to do some martial arts training for a week, I was like, I need some content that's going to auto post while I'm gone.
Okay.
And so one of the things I'd always wanted to do, I was like, well, this will appeal to a few nerds out there, is I've always wanted to walk people through the Baal story, the story of Baal and Asherah and El and Anat, and to say, these are these characters that everyone in Canaan worshiped, that Israel was constantly being pulled to worship. So we literally, I just have a coordinates up on my screen. I just walk through context of scripture, the kind of scholarly text of the Baal saga, posted it, did it in five parts, walked through section by section. And then I point to places in scripture where these ideas pop up, usually as polemic against them.
Right.
And that video is coming up on 1 million views now. The next most viewed video is not even close to that. And it was incredible that I was like, oh, I thought maybe a dozen people would be interested in this. 700,000, 800,000 views. And I'm like, there's a hunger for this nerdy Bible stuff.
Who knew how many nerds actually loved you?
Yeah, lots. I mean, look around me. People see me on my channel and they know immediately I'm a nerd. Good. And some of that draws them to it, and some that makes them run.
So what's the next series you'll do on those kind of subjects that are digging into history and placing us within it?
Well, I'm currently in the middle of walking through all three versions of the Olivet Discourse and the eschatology of the Olivet Discourse, and looking at the Old Testament and ancient Hellenistic references within the Olivet Discourse. So I've done Mark. That was an 11-part series. I'm about to film I think it's part four, maybe three or four in Luke's version. Luke's to me is the most challenging of the three. And then I'll probably end with Matthew's, but those are long form. We do long form teaching. So I may do three or four verses at a time and go deep. So that's what I'm in the middle of. And then I will get back to working through the Psalms, Psalm by Psalm. We've done the first 20, I think I just did Psalm 25 or 26. I can't remember. But the reason that that's so slow is because I translate everything first, would do my own translation, then check commentaries, then pull in references, and then present it. So it's a lot of back end work, but once the study's done, then the filming is a little bit easier. So I kind of do all the information cramming up front, think it over through, organize it. And then when it's ready to film, it kind of comes in spurts. That's what's next. Going to finish Olivet Discourse in Luke, maybe go back to a few more Psalms, and then Olivet Discourse in Matthew. And by that time, it'll probably be 2030. So,
I feel the same way about what we're going through. Sandy and I have been doing different series and actually teaching conversationally, exegetically, like going through a book at a time. But it's nowhere near the level of serious scholarship that you're devoted to. But it is for us a way of doing something I've never seen happen on radio before, which is conversational exegesis.
That's fantastic. That's actually one of the best ways to do. That's how the ancients did it.
And I'm very much looking forward to reading some of your translations. Like you and I discussed a couple of years ago about the whole Ecclesiastes translation. So one of these days I'll catch up with you on those things. So before we get off this discussion, though, make sure you let people know how to get access to that information and your YouTube channel.
YouTube channel is very easy to find. Just put Disciple, not Discipleship, but Disciple Dojo. All one word. D-O-J-O is how you spell dojo. For those that don't know, a dojo is just where you go to train martial arts. Mm-hmm. So we are the place you come to train discipleship. So Disciple Dojo on YouTube, and you can find us there. Subscribe. That's the best way. We do have podcasts on different podcast platforms. If you go to disciplodojo.org/podcast, that'll feed it to our podcast. Is not as regular as YouTube. A lot of what I do is on-screen teaching that doesn't translate well to audio. So the bulk of what we're doing is on YouTube, but some of what we do on YouTube, I do put on the podcast.
Okay.
If it doesn't require visuals. Facebook.com groups, search for Grownups Table, all one word, Grownups Table. And there are three questions you have to answer that we try to use to kind of weed out the fake profiles and the bots. And then you have to agree to the group rules, and you need to read the rules. There's 10 of them. I wrote them very specifically. It lets you know how the group is different than other Christian groups out there.
And because of the way you've written in the past, I will encourage those who are listening now that if you're going to go to Disciple Jojo looking for answers about what's going to happen in eschatology, you're probably not going to get that from James Michael Smith. You're going to get how to read and how to understand, how to pursue. And you do obviously have a tradition through Wesleyan, that particular branch of modern Christianity that you come from. So you're going to have a perspective, but it does not mean that you're committed to an eschatology reading. You are committed to reading Jesus and letting him talk to us in our many messy ways. So I appreciate that about you, that you're letting us actually think for ourselves and thinking with the Holy Spirit in us as much as you are encouraging us to get into the Word. I know it's going to be a good exercise for a lot of people to step in with you in the deep waters like this a bit. Discipleship with a kick, I would call it. All right, man. It's been great talking to you again. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. You too, Bram. I hope everything's going great. And I love that we're able to stay connected through the wonders of social media.
James Michael Smith of Disciple Dojo and a whole bunch of other stuff, including the Grown Ups Table. We just talked about that for the past hour. Thanks for being on Compassion Radio again.
Always a pleasure.
My thanks again to James Michael Smith and his multitude of accessible YouTube theology series available to everyone, anytime, and absolutely free. Check him out today.
Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.